אתם עם SBS בעברית.
שלום אוסטרליה. State prosecutors denounced charges on Thursday against former defense officials and associates of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in a case described as the biggest corruption scandal in Israel's history. Case 3000 centers on a possible conflict of interest surrounding the multi-billion shekel procurement of military boats and submarines from German shipbuilder ThyssenKrupp in 2016. Prosecutors allege Israeli officials were bribed to push a massive deal for the vessels worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Miki Ganor, ThyssenKrupp's former agent in Israel, is being charged with bribery, money laundering and tax offences, as is Eliezer Meron, a former head of the Israeli Navy. The Justice Ministry also announced charges of bribery, breach of trust and money laundering against David Sharan, a former aide to Netanyahu, and to Energy Minister Yuval Steinitz, as well as charges of bribery, money laundering, fraud, breach of trust and tax offences against former Minister Eliezer Sandberg. Rami Taib, a former political advisor to Steinitz, is charged with brokering bribery, and Yitzhak Lieber, a media consultant with ties to Sharan, with money laundering and assisting tax offences. David Shimron, Netanyahu's former personal lawyer and cousin, will be charged with money laundering. The IDF admitted on Wednesday that it had published inflated numbers of ultra-Orthodox enlisted for years. The faulty numbers were sent each year to the IDF Chief of Staff, the Defence Minister and other relevant government bodies and published in official reports. Between 2011 and 2017, the numbers reported have been doubled or even tripled, as the Army included in its figures recruits who were not Haredi, some of whom were not even religious. At the end of last year, a new administrative division was formed by the military and took charge of reporting the numbers of ultra-Orthodox recruits. Their tally yielded the number of 1,650, half of the previous year. The numbers had apparently been inflated in previous years to silence criticism that efforts to enlist ultra-Orthodox soldiers were failing. The Army said in a statement, "Recently, a mistake was discovered in the count of the ultra-Orthodox soldiers in recent years. There isn't a will to inflate the numbers. It stemmed from our interpretation of who is ultra-Orthodox. It is possible that people made mistakes, but there was no malice and definitely not forgery of numbers." The recruitment of Haredim is one of the key issues in the political arena and has contributed to the withdrawal of Avigdor Lieberman from his coalition with Likud. Lieberman's refusal to serve alongside Haredim has prevented Prime Minister Netanyahu from being able to forge a government. A third round of elections is now most likely in Israel's attempt to form a government, and the projected date is the 3rd of March. Likud and Kohol Lavan have traded blame over who is responsible for the impasse. MK Omer Balev from the Labour Gesher Party said yesterday that he is working to enlist support for Knesset Speaker Yuli Edelstein, a member of the Likud Party, to form a government. After both Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Benny Gantz failed, responsibility for cobbling together a coalition shifted to the Knesset. Any lawmaker who gets the backing of at least 61 MKs by Wednesday will have 14 days to form a government. If no MK receives sufficient support by the deadline, the Knesset will automatically dissolve and new elections will be called. A number of recent polls have indicated that new elections would result in continued gridlock. According to a survey this past week, Netanyahu still leads in the suitability for Prime Minister with 39%, but Kohol Lavan's Benny Gantz is only 2 points behind with 37%. Months ago, he was more than 10 points behind. Netanyahu's challenger from within Likud, Gideon Saar, scored only 19%, but this would change significantly if he were elected by Likud to head the party. 52% of the public said they believed Netanyahu should not continue to serve as prime minister while facing indictment. Among right-wingers, only 34% believe Netanyahu should step down, with 57% saying the charges were not an issue. There is not widespread faith in a rotation agreement as part of a national unity government. Only 37% believe Netanyahu would eventually vacate his post if he were to agree with Gantz on a power-sharing deal that would see them rotate the premiership, with 44% believing the premier would not keep such a promise. Attorney General Avichai Mandelblit on Monday re-presented Knesset Speaker Yuli Edelstein with a charge sheet against the Prime Minister in three cases against him, first issued on November 21st, officially restarting the 30-day countdown Netanyahu has to request parliamentary immunity. Because of Israel's political deadlock, the Knesset House Committee, which weighs immunity requests, has been non-functional, which will likely delay the formal filing of the charges. The former president of the Supreme Court, Professor Aaron Barak, warned on Friday that Israel's democracy was on a slippery slope. He said populism in Israel was threatening the rights of individuals and the rule of law, joining the voices expressing such a concern. Barak said, obviously there isn't democracy without majority rule, but there also isn't democracy without individual rights and an independent judiciary. And these days, every aspect of democracy that isn't part of majority rule gets attacked. And slowly, slowly, people are starting to believe that what the majority decides is democracy. If this doesn't get stopped, we'll find ourselves in a state like today's Poland or Hungary. Today's war is a war that is essentially about the rule of law. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu flew to Lisbon for two meetings during the past week, one on Wednesday evening with US Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and one with Portuguese Prime Minister António Costa on Thursday. At a briefing at the end of his two-day trip, he told reporters that his meeting with Pompeo was of critical importance to Israel's security. The two discussed Netanyahu's vow to annex the Jordan Valley and plans for a US-Israel mutual defense pact. But the Prime Minister did not report any tangible progress on either front. He called for increased economic pressure on Iran and indicated that he wouldn't mind if Iranian protesters toppled the regime. The meeting with Costa was a courtesy call. Palestinian protests along the Gaza border resumed this week, following a three-week hiatus after the IDF's operation against Islamic Jihad in November. Some 4,000 Palestinians took part, with several hundred rioting and throwing rocks and explosive devices at IDF troops, who responded with tear gas and occasional live fire. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry said 27 Palestinians were injured. Israeli startup Site Diagnostics has received U.S. Food and Drug Administration clearance to market a blood test device that can extract the result of a standard complete blood count test from just a drop of blood in minutes. To use Site's OLO, the physician or nurse pricks the patient's finger, places a drop of blood into a small disposable plastic cartridge that is inserted into the device, which looks like a small home printer. The machine, equipped with a camera, takes thousands of images of the millions of cells within the sample. Software developed by the firm, based on machine learning algorithms, analyzes the images and provides the results in a printout or via email in just minutes. Israel is sending an emergency medical team to help Samoa contain its deadly measles epidemic. Ambassador Yitzhak Greenberg announced on Thursday, saying Israel is committed to supporting our dear friend Samoa in this crisis. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.